Good evening. Thank you for being here. My name is Antonella Manuli. You can move the slide. Here I am. From when I was a baby until now, almost on the left, I was born in Milan, Italy, and I grew up in the Alps in Switzerland, and then I lived in a golf course for a few years. You can guess which one I am on the far right there. I represented my country playing golf all over the world for a few years. And then I started working in finance and accounting. Really great experience. And then when I was around 27, 28, I moved to Maremma to work in tourism. And for all my life, I really loved the outdoors and nature, and that's where I really felt well with myself. And when I came to Maremma, I was really stunned by the environment. And I really thought this was a great place to start a project in agriculture. And so that's where I started Fattoria La Magliosa, which I will tell you about later. And I'm here today because Isabella Giron asked me to speak about the carbon footprint. You know, we are really concerned about carbon at a global level, because there is evidence now that global warming is really affected a lot by carbon emissions. And measuring carbon is something that I started doing at my farm a few years ago. And so here I am to explain to you, hopefully, clearly enough today, why it's important to measure carbon if you are producing natural wine. And as consumers, why you should care about how natural wine producers, produce emissions, high or low. It's a subject that should really concern you. So, do you agree with me? Wine is not a necessity for human survival. Well, yes, of course, it is emotionally, right? And it's been with us for all of human history, so it's really a product that is has a lot of culture. It's not just an agricultural product, it's a lot more. But still, we can live without wine. So, why am I saying this? Slide. I say this because if we are producing something that is not necessary for our survival, we should feel a little bit more responsible about how we produce it. And we should even more feel responsible if we are in the sector of natural wine. So we are pretending to tell consumers that we're doing something different and maybe better with our environment. So, it's not so clear in this slide, but you see a nice, beautiful vineyard. What is behind this vineyard? This, I think, is a vineyard in Piemonte, in the Barolo area, which is very nice, very beautiful. But the question is, you know, while we are producing wine, is this something that pollutes our environment? Yes, the answer is yes. It's very polluting. The production of conventional wine is very polluting. It's not just the obvious pollution that you can see in this slide where we have some treatments being done, okay? But if you look at the soil, You can see how this heavy machinery is really compacting. This is damaging your soil life. And also, you see how there is no grass. This is also something that is very negative as far as the carbon emission. We can go this way, okay? If we consider that the total size of organic viticulture is around 7% of the total viticulture in the world, well, then we can say that more than 90% of wine production is pollution intensive. Yes, in which ways? Like I was saying, some are obvious. You can find damages for the human health. So for consumers, sometimes you can find residues of pesticides and other things in the wine that are not good for you. Even when there are a lot of sulfites, they are not good for you. But something we don't think about very often is people that are working in these vineyards. Okay, they breathe a lot of very, very bad stuff, which is really not good. So there are entire areas in some viticulture regions where the professional diseases are a lot more than other other non-producing areas, and nobody's really speaking about this. And then there is the environment. Well, we know that worldwide there is a loss of fertility for the soil, so that the organic substance is getting less and less. This is a problem for all production in agriculture. Poisoning, of course, when the spraying of a lot of herbicides, fungicides, etc., they pollute our groundwater. And then something that really nobody is talking about yet a lot in wine, but this is also a big problem, is the carbon emission. So today we're here to look at that. You can produce carbon in the vineyard, in the cellar, and in the packaging. So you need to look at all sides of your product, starting from the vineyard and finishing with your packaging. You can move the slide. So the question is, if you are a natural wine producer, you need to take responsibility about what you're doing. It's not just a question of taste and quality. The whole storytelling on wine is taste and quality, terroir, okay. Taste, quality, terroir, great. But here we are in natural wine. We should be doing something else. Better, maybe we should inspire the rest of the world of viticulture to start doing something a little bit more consciously. So this is something I feel really strongly about. We have an ethical responsibility. And you as consumers, you should really ask for the producers to take this responsibility. Don't just taste the wine, okay? Because we should be accountable for what we do in the vineyard and anywhere else, basically, in our production. So we can. So we know the word natural wine has a problem. It has no legal definition. This is a big problem, not just for us producers, but for the whole sector, because it's very difficult also for a consumer to really understand what it means and to distinguish about what people are doing. But the question is, it's all about truth, okay? This movement started because we wanted to give a message of authenticity, okay, and transparency. So to me, this is part of the mission of natural wine, to give you transparency, which is not really achieved by the labels, by the way. This is another thing. Okay, let's move. And so when I started becoming a wine producer, after some time, I was really asking myself, how can we really be transparent? How can we measure this sustainability? Because I could tell you anything, and you can believe me or not. I can say a lot of greenwashing. I can talk about flowers in the vineyards, or bees, whatever, It's some of the point, but it's not really the point. It's not just a pretty postcard. It's not just that the wine maybe has 20 sulfites instead of 120. What am I doing to my environment? We need to measure this, and we need a measure that is really a standard for everybody to be able to understand. So it needs to be a measure that is really recognized by everything. And this is the CO2 emission. Inside CO2 measurement, you find everything. Any human activity can be measured by the CO2 emission. Even your life, you know, there are some websites where you go and you put in your activities and they tell you what your carbon footprint is. You can find this online, by the way. And so this is, when I came across this, you know, I by chance went to a conference that was held by people of the University of Siena, and they were starting to work on this for some wine consortiums in the province of Siena. And we started working together, and I became the first biodynamic farm in Italy to certify its carbon emission. And this is a work I've done with the University of Siena. And this really was very interesting to me, because it was not only an assessment, but it gave me some clear guidelines where I could improve and not change anything, you know, not with not so much effort, how I could be a lot better to my environment. Okay, we can move. This is just to give you an example. When you have bare soil that is arable, or like what you do with cereal, but a lot of times also in the vineyard, you emit carbon. You see, up. When you have wood, for instance, trees like the olive groves here in this example, or grass, you absorb. So this is just something quite simple that can be done. You know, not leave your vineyards with your soil bare, and you're already improving your carbon footprint. So my answer, why is it important? I think I already told you, but we can go over the concepts. So it's transparent, it's measurable. CO2 is important as far as on a global level. So it's not something, you know, very small that nobody has heard about. It's a very, very contemporary problem that affects everything that we do. And it's an ethic responsibility. And also what you do in your environment as a wine producer is affecting the people around you. So it's also a social responsibility that we do this. Okay, this is just to give you an idea of where we are at a global level. You can see from the 1970 on the left, 2010, the numbers are gigatons. So what we are doing as humans in the atmosphere. And on the right, you see what's interesting, that agriculture is the second, part of the circle. Agriculture is the second largest producer of CO2 in the world. So it's before construction, transport, industry, and so it's very, very important issue for agriculture. So here we are in our farm, and what we're really concerned about is what we can change. We can change our footprint from cradle to gate. After it leaves the farm, it's not our problem anymore. It's the distributor problem, the client's problem, and the consumer problem, because how do you dispose of the packaging? Okay, so this is how do we measure. We measure everything that we do from the vineyard until the moment my bottle of wine is ready. Okay, this is very, very technical. What I can say is just to give you some examples. When I say the vineyard, how do we calculate the emissions? We look at what kind of chemicals are used in the vineyard, the gasoline we use for transportation, if our, you know, the water management, how we harvest, basically everything. In the winery, of course, again, we have electricity, water, if we use any chemicals, the aging process, and how we manage, and anything that goes into the wine. For the bottling, we have a very, and storage is very, very important to look at the weight of our bottle. It's one single thing that can really affect your carbon footprint. Okay, let's go. We can pass this. Okay, we can really make an impact, okay, by farming in one way or another. In this graph, you can see on the right, the emissions, average emissions of a conventional wine, organic, biodynamic. These, of course, are average measures. White wine. We can go. Okay. This as a whole, you can see conventional versus organic. It can be, you know, emissions can be cut by even almost half is a lot. You can think if just maybe not just 7%, but 20%, 30% of producers became organic, what kind of a difference it would make. Yes? So here we are in Maremma, Tuscany, and this is a view from my farm, and you see a lot of green, okay? This is just to show that what you can measure is each product can be measured as far as the footprint, and also the whole farm, you know, everything that goes into the farm can be measured. In our case, we have an offset, meaning we are absorbing more carbon than we are emitting by the way we work. Let's go. So what is given, I think of the carbon footprint really like as a grade in school, okay? It's really your grade that you're getting. Am I passing this exam or not? So I had a grade when I started working with the University of Siena, quite a good grade that was, of course, given by the fact that I have a lot of wood, and this is absorbing a lot of CO2. All of the soil is covered by grass. I have a lot of renewable energy on the farm, so I basically produce with the sun all the electricity that I need, and then what's left I can sell to my government. And the other thing is I depend very little from the outside. I have this closed cycle agriculture where I can plant my hay, my grasses, and everything, and use it within the farm. So I don't have to buy a lot of stuff from the outside. When we look at wine specifically, then some of the things are the same, but we can see some interesting things that everybody can do, like use electric rechargeable equipment instead of equipment that is running on fuel. I know maybe some of this seems really obvious, but not really, because if you look at how people work, very seldom these things are done. So we use very little technology in the cellar. We care a lot about packaging. So when you are a consumer and you're looking at buying natural wine, I think you should, this is something that visually you can evaluate, okay? What are they doing with their bottle? What kind of labels? Are they using plastic, for instance, or... But if you see a lot of recycled paper, light boxes, a lighter glass bottle, well, this means this producer is thinking about making a better impact on the environment. For instance, after we got assessed the first time, we had some suggestions from the university, and the first thing they said, we could use a lighter glass bottle. So we lowered by 60 grams our bottle, and this gave us overall of the whole footprint of the farm, a 10% decrease, which is really a lot if you think about it. This is something that anybody can do without changing anything else. Okay, so with the help of these people from the university, you can see what happened. We went from, these are expressed in kilos of CO2 equivalent. Okay, so when you see 0.88, it's 0.88 kilos. All right. So we went from 88 to 2017, we had 0.66. Since we were already starting from a very, very good position, this is really a big improvement. We are very happy. And this was, like you see, the best practices that we were already doing. And this is what we implemented after their assessment, like I was saying, the lighter bottle, and also being more aware of our fuel consumption and using a lot more rechargeable equipment. So here we are, we have this bottle. They are pouring this wine that you are seeing here. This bottle in particular had 0.81 kilograms. I don't think it's the 216, but it's about the same. So am I telling you the truth when I say we're working naturally? Well, you can tell from this slide, yes, I'm telling the truth, because most of my carbon footprint is coming from the vineyard. We're almost not using any carbon in the cellar. You can see 58% in the vineyard, 0.3% in the cellar. So if when I tell you I'm not using any technology, yes, you can see I'm not using any technology. And of course, the packaging is a very important part of my footprint. This slide is going around. I know it's hard to read the numbers from far, but there is a slide going around with this graph. Okay? Okay, we can go. One other thing that I mentioned, what we are doing is really affecting our community. Okay, it's not just the wine, it's not just what we're doing. There are people living around us. There are humans and animals and all sorts of life living around our farms. And if we are working in natural wine, we should be concerned, okay? So there is a way. This is a very, very new measure. It just came out. I was part of a study also by the university to calculate the social LCA, meaning how the carbon emissions are affecting what is around you. This is just a graph to show you that really the implication of this can be, what is nice about the carbon footprint is it has direct and immediate implications. I mean, you can really change something. You can really also assess how you're changing things. It's not some theory, you know, or... Okay. All right, I would like, then please ask me any questions, because I know this is kind of technical, you know, and it can be complicated if you hear it the first time, but I really think that as producers, we have to be very careful of greenwashing. If I say something to you, I should be able to prove it to you in some way and to give you some kind of a measure. We should really start bringing relevant storytelling to the market, okay? I think natural wine, if it's wants to become a more mature product, a more mainstream product, they need to behave in a, we as producers need to become more critical towards ourselves, more professional, and more rational in a way. And if we are to be transparent, we really really transparent. I mean, give you something that you can verify. This is even more important because we have no legal definition, you see. If we had a legal definition, well, we could say we're doing everything by the law and that's it. Like organic, okay? I'm organic, I have a certification, I'm doing everything by the book, okay? But when I also say I'm more than organic, I'm natural, well, how are you working? You know, the carbon footprints has everything inside. And by this QR code that you can find, for instance, on my bottles, it logs you onto the website, the page where all my carbon footprint calculation is explained. So thank you for listening to me. Please ask me any questions. Yes. Yeah, thank you for your question. It's not prevalent at all. In fact, like I said, I was the first biodynamic farm in Italy to do this, and I did it like 3 years ago, you know. And so far, I think we are two. The other one is the man sitting there in the back. So it's not really, okay, but it should. I really feel strongly about this. So last night, I went back to my hotel, and I found this postcard. We're making efforts to reduce our carbon footprint. Okay, so they're trying to tell you what the best practice would be to reduce their carbon footprint. If we care about this, then we will help them. This is not something you will ever hear from a wine producer, I think. Have you ever heard about any wine producer say something like that? Okay. I think it's something that we should really start thinking about. Yes. So the question is, what changes between native and non-native as far as Well, usually when you use native vines, the carbon footprint is a lot lower, of course. The impact is lower because in their management, you need a lot less. Okay, like for instance, in Maremma, is a very hot and dry area. If you are going to use vines from Bordeaux, you will need to use a lot of water. Okay, you need to water them. You need to take a lot of care. You know, as far as treatments and everything, because they're not adapted to this environment. When you use native vines, it's not really much you need to do, almost nothing. You really need to take care of the soil. But once you take care of the soils, the vines will cater for themselves a lot. So this also, of course, is a factor. Yeah, I think a lot of times just because they don't know. It's just a question of knowing it's something you could be doing. Also because, you know, usually the heavier bottles are associated with more quality, you know, higher price, and so maybe some more traditional winemakers want to use that bottle because in the consumer's mind is associated, like I said, with quality. Well, we really need to change this. We need to do education also to the people. And especially natural producers, they don't need to go into this, you know. Why? I mean, yeah, you can have the best quality wine, but why give it a heavy bottle? You don't need to do it. Your quality is coming from other things, and you should really teach your consumer to care about other things as far as natural wine. Yes.
And so when we're talking about terroir, just, mm-hmm. you know, something that's so interchangeable in the wine world and so important, how would you explain that to a consumer when you're talking about terroir, but you're implementing all of these, like, you know, greenery in your vineyard? Like, how would you present that to a consumer?
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, terroir means place, right? It's the place. Okay. So when we say that we like terroir in the wine, we say that we think that it's good that the wines express a character of the place. You can express it a lot better if your soil is in equilibrium. If the soil is well balanced, okay, it means it has a lot of life inside. And to have the life, you need to be covered by grasses that compete and keep the balance, all right? Because if your soil is bare, then all the life, I'm really explaining in a simple way, but the sun demolishes life in the soil, okay? Mechanization and compaction kills life in the soil. So if you have no life in the soil, how can you have a character in the vine? That you're just going to have some dirt there. It's not soil. It's not a live soil. It's a dirt. And so you will need to add a lot of things in the cellar to put back that you couldn't get from the soil. So it's really good, you know, to express the terroir. I personally think is essential.
Yes.
No. Also, you know, this is not so simple to do like the glass bottle, because if you're coming from a conventional cultivation, it will take a few years in order, you know, for all the grasses to reach a balance. So you need to be a little patient if you are converting. So it's not something that happens like this, but if this is your goal in 3 or 4 or 5 years, then you will have a nice situation in the vineyard.
I have one question. Did you find that you had different carbon footprints across different wines, or was it?
Yes, of course, because each wine has their own carbon footprint. Because it depends how much grapes did you produce that year for that went into that wine. Say you have a vineyard, a hectare of vineyard with different varieties in it, and they're making 2 or 3 wines. You know, I am doing things the same for all of them, but then if I'm only producing, say, 10 bottles of one wine and 1,000 of another wine, of course the 1,000 bottles will have a lower footprint because, you know, all the work gets more distributed, so it depends really on the quantity produced. But it's not a great difference. Okay, of course, and it's always a lot lower than the production of a conventional wine, because the cellar is practically zero for all of the wines, so. Go ahead. Yes. Yeah. Well, of course, manual management has very, very low, almost non-existent carbon footprint. Of course, you cannot do everything manually. It's also hard to find workers that nowadays agree to work manually. It's not so easy. This is a big challenge. Of course, working manually will give you always the best quality, because, you know, the human eye and the human hand are the best machine in the world. It cannot be replaced by robots. I don't care how they talk a lot about artificial intelligence, but once we have a nice robot that can really look and do, then I will buy one. But you cannot do everything like that. So what we try to do, we use light machinery and rechargeable. Now, not really. No, no, no. You mean if people that make natural wine are trying to define natural wine? Some people are trying to give some explanation about what it is. Like Isabelle Geron in her book, she gives. But you know that's really not easy, because when you don't have a legal definition, you can maybe find similar explanations, but they will never match. So what I really think the point really is the difference of natural wine. You are incorporating an ethical value in the wine. Okay, so this is the big difference, and the ethical value is caring about humans and the environment. This is something that is not there. I don't care how you define conventional or natural wine. It's not there in the conventional wines. So this is the big point of difference, and it's something that should really be more understood by also people that sell natural wine. They're not just selling, you know, good wine, hopefully. But I think people are caring a lot about these aspects. It's just not yet carried out in the storytelling of natural wine enough. So I think natural wine needs to make a little bit, you know, different level from the you know, because it started as a rebellion against conventional wine, but this is like a baby phase of natural wine, and we need to grow up a little bit. I think leaders in the movement should take maybe a stand towards these aspects and make the producers understand it's important. Like I think Isabelle is doing a great work also by calling me to speak about this. I think, you know, it's something new, I think. And they need to start, you know, they are the people that are heard by the media and have a voice. So these people should start speaking about this. Yeah. I don't think there's... We are a society that functions a lot by media, you know, and so that's the way to go, I think. Yeah. For sure, absolutely, less carbon intensive. This is just a fact. Expressive of the terroir, of course, then you also have the human hand, you know what I mean? The producer needs to be able to make good wine, so this is not just automatic. But for sure, the carbon emission would be lower, yes, definitely. It's not just the multiple, you see. I can have 1 hectare, like I do, in fact. I have an old vineyard, like all the old vineyards, traditionally they were planted by more than one variety, but also with some rationality. So all the whites on one side, all the reds on the other side, also it's something that maybe can go, if on one plot I have different types of soils, maybe I can look at that and see which of the varieties is more adapted to the one soil, but you will not have so many varietals on just one. Okay, so you will always have one main variety for that plot, yeah, I think. Okay. I am biodynamic in a way that doesn't have anything to do with the Demeter certification, okay? Because they're not synonymous. Biodynamic means you have a closed cycle agriculture or viticulture, okay? We gave a name to what we do, which is Metodo Corino. It's a method that we studied and implemented. But what it really is a closed cycle agriculture that is only using vegetal materials in the vineyard. So we're not using anything from animal sources. And whenever possible, which is, I have a big farm, so for me it's possible, we use hay and all the vegetal materials grown within the farm. So this really is increasing, like you were saying, is increasing a lot the terroir, because I have the wild grasses from, you know, native grasses, and I'm using hay in the vineyards, and this is all really increasing a lot the concentration of my terroir in the vineyard. So if you want to know anything about the wine, I can tell you. It was not really about tasting, but since you have the wine. So this wine, of course, after all I've said, so we are using the native grape. It's called Procanico. Procanico is a very, very ancient grape dating back from the Romans. It was already mentioned by Plinius, which was one of the first agronomists to actually write an agronomical treatise. And it's a grape that has become very rare because it's not very suitable to mechanized management and also has very low yields. This is coming from an old vineyard of 60 years. And this Procanico is from the family of Trebbiano, but it's not Trebbiano, it's nothing to do with Trebbiano. It's very small bunches, pink. It's fermented with skins. We like to have very slow fermentation. Also, one thing you know about this management of the vineyard will not give you any problems with the wild yeast fermentation, because also on the skins you will have a lot of wild yeasts if you cultivate like this. Okay, so it's and very slow fermentation, so about 4 weeks, and that's it. It has zero sulfites, completely. Zero sulfites, and I don't like so much to describe wines because I like to leave it to the taste, but let's say that typical characteristics of this varietal is honey. The more it stays in the glass, the more you should be able to smell herbs, or a lot of herbe officinale, anyway, the wild herbs. Actually, I can actually smell the herbs the dry herbs in my vineyard. It's quite amazing. It comes out. And it's a 2016. And this wine actually got an award, which is quite unusual for a natural wine, because it got an award in a conventional wine prize at Vinitaly last year. If any of you are interested in the carbon, you can just maybe leave your email to the organization and I can send the presentation, because there's a lot of small numbers that were kind of hard to see and not so easy to explain here. Yes. You can just Google it and say calculate my carbon footprint. You will come out with a lot of carbon footprint calculators. I did it. It was quite fun actually. Any more questions? Okay. Thank you so much.